And thank you, Rudy, for our wonderful music this morning. And thank you, choir, for that wonderful anthem. And thank you, Kate, for serving as our liturgist. Have you ever planned to do something really important that involved a lot of people and then you had to adjust your plans or change them totally? I can remember several times in my ministry when I planned a visit or were scheduled a meeting, and I called that meeting and got everybody together only to have something else come up that caused me to be late or prevented me from attending entirely. And 99% of the time, people said, "That's okay, sure, I understand, no problem." And there's always that 1% that got a little bit bent out of shape about it, you know. There have been times when in our family we have planned to attend a family event and something else came up, a change in work schedule or an illness or snow, something, and everyone understood, but still in the air you can feel that hurt, that disappointment. That's what happened to Paul here. And the response that he's getting is from the 1%. He made plans to come and to see the believers at Corinth, and then he had to change those plans. It's not easy to determine what the original plans were or what led to their change, but there were those who said, well, if he changes his plans, then he can change his mind. And if he can change his mind, then how can we believe what he and his team are preaching? And how can we trust him? And it reached such a pitch that Paul had to address it here with them. And what's important for us this morning is the way in which he defends himself. Okay? This is a message on reliability. Now, when I found myself in this position, like Paul was in, I usually begin by sort of explaining the factors that led me to adjust my plans. Oh, this came up, or this circumstance came up. Perhaps that's what you do, too. Paul doesn't do that. He gets around to it later. But Paul's defense is not found in the circumstances. Paul's defense can be summed up in 5 words. Trust God. God is reliable. Trust God. God is reliable. Paul's reliability rests on the reliability of Christ. Both the person of Jesus, his life and his death and his resurrection, but also by Christ, we mean the gospel, the entire message of God through the ages, from Genesis to Revelation, from God through Jesus to the Holy Spirit. Christ is God's divine yes to a broken humanity. And Paul is saying here, God is doing what God promised to do through Jesus. And now through me and through my team, and we might add now through all of us today here. It's sometimes difficult to see that. It's hard to see that in a world that goes through continuous wars, famines, natural disasters, dangers, social and political and ethical changes, and the individual challenges that we face as human beings. So one point of this passage is that the danger we face when we choose to respond to one another from solely a human perspective, we might miss what the Spirit wants to do. Verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who we preached among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. Let me say a word about that verse. It helps us to ask ourselves the question, how do we learn to say yes instead of no to the Christian life? How do we learn to say yes instead of no? Because the problem is that we tend to think of God as a no. don't we? Thou shalt not. You better not do that. But God is a yes, Paul is reminding us. God is inviting you to the light. He's inviting you to goodness, to peace, to beauty, to what is holy. Now, this does not mean that Jesus always says yes to every prayer. Okay? It doesn't mean that God accepts every human action as legitimate or every behavior as okay. God often says no to our desires, right? He often says no to our goals. Life experience bears that out. But the good news is this: with God, there is no yes and no leaving us in doubt. God's yes is yes, and is a reliable yes. Crisp, clear, clean, yes. God's will is firm. It's His plans, His purposes are unchanging, however unclear it may seem to you and to me in this moment. The gospel is also never yes and no, as if salvation lay in Christ one day and somewhere else another day. It is always yes in Christ. God's salvation does not change from day to day. The qualities, the benefits, the potency, the fullness is always there. It is always the same in Christ. Let me tell a personal story. I got a call one day several years ago. He was a Vietnam veteran, and I had heard that he saw things that no person should see at a young age. And it colored his life. One scar was that he had a hard time trusting people. And she asked me if I would come to their home. He was dying and had asked her to call me. I came. His wife left us alone to talk. And he said, "I know I haven't lived the best life, but I've worked hard. I've provided for my family. I answered the call to serve my country, and I've tried to be a good person." I said, "Sir, you have a wonderful family. You have a nice home and friends, but you don't sound entirely confident about it. Is something bothering you that you want to talk about?" And his lower lip began trembling. And he said, "I should have helped others more." I said, "Well, let's pray about that." And we prayed about that, and we prayed about some other things too. And we gave thanks for God's generous protection over him during his time of service, and the blessings of his work, his lovely family, his military service, and the Lord's love for him led him to confess his sins and accept the gift of eternal life. And I was so glad in those moments that we represent a Savior who is trustworthy and who is reliable. His salvation and his truth and his grace are near, and they are available to anyone, anytime. We finished praying, and he said, "So, what do we do now?" I said, "You said you wanted to help others." He says, "I can't do anything." I said, "You can still give to others now, and after you're gone. And he did. His life went from no to yes. A very clear and crisp and clean yes. There is a time where you say yes as a believer, when you cross those invisible lines of questions and hesitations and yeah buts and yeah buts and yeah buts and excuses, and you say yes to God. It's so important to finally say yes to your Creator, to your Shepherd, to the author of your life and your destiny. So there'll come a time when you and I have to defend our reliability. When Paul had to, he did it by pointing at who God is. He said, God does what he promises. God's reliable. I'm trying to emulate that, him. So I want to ask you a question this morning with real answers spoken loudly and publicly. To you, what are some of the character traits that make up the quality of reliability? What are some of the character traits that make up the quality of reliability?
Dependability.
Say it again, please.
Dependability.
Thank you. Dependability.
Caring.
Caring.
Faithfulness.
Honesty.
Honesty.
Trustworthiness.
Trustworthiness. How do you know when someone is reliable? Maybe approach it from that angle. How do you know when a person is reliable?
Past experience.
Past experience. Our 830 congregation added these words: flexibility, love, generosity, acceptance, integrity, timeliness. Let's take a moment and think about these things. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that the good news of the gospel is never yes and no, as if salvation were in someone else. It is always the same in you. And as we think about these character traits, Lord, that make up reliability in our own lives, we do so as members of our family, as citizens in our community, as members in our church, as helpers in our community. Continue, Lord, to build the wonderful quality of reliability in our lives, that all that we do will be a reflection of your great love for us and our love for you. For it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen.